Welcome, everyone. On behalf of Evangelist Pastor Barber and the Lighthouse Church, we want to welcome you to the celebration of life for our dearly departed, Reverend Nancy Willis. Never in a million years did we even have in our mind that we would be here and Reverend Nancy would not be with us. Never in the possibilities, the realms. I'm not going to religion this up. This monitor's too hot. But we all know how special the Rev was. You've probably talked a little bit, heard some stories so far this morning, and we'll continue to hear more in the days ahead. The Rev was a prophetic intercessor. God used her to intercede for so many things that we will not know what they are until we reach heaven ourselves. And that's a wonderful legacy and a wonderful testimony. I don't know how she found God, but I'm glad that she did. Super glad that she did. There are so many times where she would be faithful to come into prayer meeting and intercede for the needs of the body of Christ. She'd be here by herself sometimes. I'd walk in, and she'd be here praying, interceding. Wonderful, wonderful testimony. So, we're going to open up this celebration with a song called Never Lost. I want you to take this into your spirit because this feels like a loss for God. She didn't get healed. She's not with us. We're going to understand in the days ahead why different things happen and why they took place. But never for one second think that God lost this battle. You can play this song. Israel. We're going to read the obituary. Nancy A. Willis, 71, of Marydale, Delaware, gained her angelic wings on June 28, 2024, surrounded by her loved ones. Nancy was born on October 30, 1952, in Wilmington, Delaware, to the late Ralph and Helen Cahill. She was one out of 10 children. Good Lord. Busy. She had a host of nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and cousins, and friends. Nancy was married to her late husband, Benjamin E. Willis, for 52 years. Nancy had worked for Walmart for 20 years. She worked in the pharmacy and was well-loved by the pharmacy staff, as well as her customers. Nancy had just received her 20-year plaque. Nancy was an active member of the Lighthouse Church in Wyoming, Delaware, where she obtained her reverend license for over 10 years. Nancy leaves behind four children, David K. Hall, Marcia, Denise Queen, Jessica Willis, and Hunter Montanaro. She had four grandchildren, David Kendall, Jordan, Felicia Tunnel, Mike, Joshua Clark, and Justin Clark. She had one great-grandchild, Avery Kendall, and one on the way who's here. He's not here today, but he came, Caleb Tunnell. If you knew the Rev the way we did, it was all about demonstration and it was all about the prophetic. But she wasn't religious with hers. You know, she said what she meant. She meant what she said. But she was always being about the Father's business. So, the scripture, 2 Kings 13:15-19, is the scripture that will always remain special to our hearts because Reverend Nancy brought her some toy arrows. And she came in during prayer meeting and she reenacted this scripture that we're about to go into. So this is 2 Kings 13:15-19. And Elijah said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands in the king's hands. Verse 17, and he said, open the east window, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And we would prophetically do that with these arrows. Verse 19, and the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. The message in this scripture is you have to have an intensity, you have to have fortitude, and whenever you're fighting against the forces of darkness and the devil, you can't go softly. And if you knew the Rev, she didn't do anything softly. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but when she interceded, she really interceded with her whole entire being. So at this point in time, we're going to ask if anyone has a quick memory that they want to share. If you do, we would like for you to come and stand on the blue X's that are on the ground because this is being live streamed and we want the people to be able to see and hear you. So if you do have a quick memory, just slip up here real quick and we'll bless the people. Going once, going twice, three times. Okay, we're good. So we're going to move into the next selection. I was going through videos and pictures last night, and I found a video of the Rev really getting into praise and worship. And if you knew her, you knew that that was her thing. She loved God. So this next song is called Graves in the Gardens. And we're going to play that now. And we just invite you to rejoice and really celebrate with this song.
Treasures to pay, never enough.
Praise the Lord. Nancy is dancing and rejoicing with God right now. What we have to look forward to in the days ahead. Nancy loved to pray. Nancy loved to yield herself to the Lord for him to fall upon her and manifest himself through her being. If you've never seen this, a prophetic intercessor in action, you really don't understand how important that role is in the body of Christ. I can often think of times during praise and worship, the music would be going, people would be singing, pushing through, trying to get close to God, and then the Rev gets struck by the Spirit, and boom, out on the floor, and she would wail and wail and wail, and then there would be a prophetic word, a prophetic message, and something would happen in somebody's life that came in to the service in that particular moment. We live in tumultuous times, but we need the Spirit of God in everything that we do. And it was such a comfort to hear that prophetic wailing come through the Rev. And it is definitely going to be missed. No one will be able to replace that ever. Just has a special place in our hearts. We're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 27. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves eagerly, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. And Nancy was full of the Spirit. And those of you who know her know she had weaknesses. But she relied upon the Spirit to get her through those times. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Many times Nancy would be groaning. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes the Rev knew what she was praying for, sometimes she didn't. None of that really mattered because she was being used by God in that particular moment. She was being transformed into a conduit that allowed for the anointing to move, demons to be broken off the lives of the people that she was interceding for, and breakthroughs that took place in the spirit realm. All of us are strange. We have our little quirks. We have our little idiosyncrasies. Nancy had hers, and in all my years of knowing her, she was the same day in and day out. She treated everybody with respect, but you knew she loved God. I remember her telling us that she got delivered from a chicken demon. And we laughed. And we laughed. And we laughed some more. How in the world do you get a chicken demon? But she got delivered from it. She was dead serious. Don't really know what that was all about, but she knew God had set her free from being bound to fried chicken. There was something special about Nancy's relationship with God. Her commitment to God showed in how she carried herself. Nancy was a woman of prayer, and we need prayer in this hour like never before. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. When Nancy prayed, she put her whole being into it. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 42, again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I wanted to read this group of scriptures because it shows an intensity in prayer, and it shows the intensity that Nancy had when she prayed. Jesus was really about to go through, and he knew that prayer was going to enable him to do what God wanted him to do. What are you going through in your life today? All of us are stressed. All of us have very little in our pockets. All of us have concerns about what's going to happen with the future, with the economy, with this country. It's going to take prayer to get through. It's going to take prayer to connect you to God. It's going to take prayer in order to battle the evil that is coming against us. There's no doubt about it in my mind anymore at all. We are in one of the biggest spiritual battles this world has ever seen. And if you're not understanding this, ask one of us and we'll help you. We'll help you see that we're in a battle between light and darkness, the devil and God. And I'm here to tell you, the devil is not stronger than God. God is stronger, and God will always prevail. But we have to have that mentality that he never lost a battle. We have to have that mentality that he's going to turn your grave into a garden. There's going to be some good come out of this situation that you're going through. You just have to persevere and press through and go until you get to the end of that situation. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This level of darkness that we're up against right now is some of the worst darkness since the beginning of time. We all can just be a little bit jealous of Nancy because she gets to miss some of the things that we're about to go through. But that's okay. God is going to be with us. She'll just have to be jealous because she's watching us from the sidelines and not in the game. We're going to get the extra rewards that she missed out on. So take that, Rev. I'm not sure if anyone ever told you this, but this world that we live in is temporary. You know there's a popular movie out right now called The Matrix. It's a secular movie, but they talk about this world being a simulation. Not everything in that movie is truth. I'm not saying that, but if you want to get a slight understanding of different dimensions existing at the same time, This will help you get a picture of this. Hebrews 9, 23 to 28. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this to judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. God placed us here in this earth realm for a purpose. That is to get to know him. And once we get to know him, we are to teach others about him. This is the gospel in its most simplest form. When our assignments are up in this world, we are going to step into the real world. We will step into eternity. In this world, we will never have to know corruption, sickness, pain, nor sorrow. We will forever be in his presence, fellowshipping with him and everyone who made the decision to follow him on this earth. Nancy made that decision, and it would be wrong of me not to present the truth to you today. Many people do not understand that we're born into sin. We have an inner sin nature that drives us to seek after ourselves. This sin nature is driving us towards death. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Doesn't this sound like some of the things that are going on in the world right now? Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on who all believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, that's a payment, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In Romans 6, 20 to 23, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what the scriptures just told us can be boiled down into four simple things. We are corrupted. We cannot save ourselves. There is a penalty for that corruption. Jesus came and paid that penalty so that we don't have to. This is what salvation is all about. What you don't know is that there is a homing beacon that is inside of you, God's GPS. How many of you know GPS is one of the most annoying things that was ever created when you know where you're going? That thing just bugs me to death. Oh, my God. Put the GPS on, pick a location, and don't do anything that GPS tells you, and you will be in a mess. Recalculating. Come on. I know where I'm going. But the GPS has a beacon inside of it telling you where to go. We all have a beacon inside of us telling us that we need to be with the Father, the creator of the universe. The beautiful thing about this is that nothing satisfies the inner longing for connection with our creator. And over time, as you spend it here on earth, you learn that no one and no thing can fill that inner emptiness inside of you but God. No one or no thing can make you feel that connection like God. When this revelation hits you, the Spirit of the Lord starts drawing you to himself. It is at this point that you really start seeing that without God, you are absolutely nothing. Because we were born into sin with no possible way to fix ourselves, God had a plan from the very beginning to run after us with his love. God sent his Son into the world that we live in now. He lived with the same pressures, temptations, and challenges that we live with every day. He did this to prove to Satan that God will not be mocked and that God is greater than him. God is greater than anything you try to fit in his place, inside of that little hole, that GPS that you have inside of you. You can fill that place with food, alcohol, sex, fulfillment on your job, family, fishing. No one and no thing will cause that inner homing beacon from saying you need God. It won't turn it off. Jesus loved us so much that while we were out there doing our things, sinning, being selfish, living for ourselves, and not having a care in the world, and Jesus put his hand up and said, Father, I would like to pay their debt. We just read this earlier. The wages of sin is death. Jesus himself said, I'm going to pay Teresa's debt. I'm going to pay Johnny's debt. I'm going to pay Alfonso's debt. I'm going to pay Ruthie's debt. And whatever your name is, Jesus said he's going to pay that debt for you. That's why he got on the cross, because we owe. We owe. John 15:9-17. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus has the love for us that we need to get us a relationship with the Father. Jesus chose us to be with him. Jesus chose us to be in a loving, committed relationship with him. And if you haven't made the choice to do this, today is the day. Do you understand that you were born on purpose in this time period? Have you ever thought about that? Some of you may think that your mom and dad did it, and boom, you were here. No. God ordained for you to be here in this time period because he wants to use you to do something for him. It could be as simple as cutting somebody's grass. It could be simple as fixing somebody's toilet. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to show the love of God. Can you imagine how many people would feel the love of God if they had a broken toilet and you came in and fixed it for them? Without having to be charged hundreds of dollars from plumbers. I'm not coming against plumbers. But do you understand what I'm talking about? There's a purpose. There's a gifting that's down on the inside of you that God wants to use to help other people. 2 Corinthians 6, 1-2. For then, as workers together with him also, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The Spirit of the Lord wants you to hear these words, and he is looking for you to respond. In closing, we read this earlier, Hebrews 9:27-28, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. So we know that we all must die. We must all step through the door that Nancy stepped through. Did you know that there are two people in the history of the world who did not die? Have you ever heard that in church before? It's real. Genesis 5:21-24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elisha said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elijah and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? So he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Elisha said, please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be for you, but if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Enoch and Elijah did not die. They haven't died yet. We are in the end times. We are awaiting the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. There is coming a time of turmoil on this earth, and during that time, there will be two witnesses of God. these two witnesses are going to be Enoch and Elijah, and they are going to do some things. This is the closing scripture, Revelation 11. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. You guys understand what's going on in Jerusalem right now? What happened since October 7th? The Gentiles are trying to tread down Israel, trying to destroy it. This is a major prophetic sign that's going on right now. We're in the end times. This is happening. Verse 3, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast," you all have heard about the mark of the beast, "that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwelled on the earth." So those two people who have not died are going to die. It's going to be so that God is not a liar. Because if God said in the scripture that we just read earlier, it's appointed for men once to die, then Enoch and Elijah have to at some point die in order to fulfill the scripture. If you don't remember anything of what was said today, you need to understand one thing. The Bible is real. It's not an accident that you were born in this time period. These two witnesses from God will be a sign that will demonstrate the power of God on this earth. Nancy is in the arms of the Father. What will you do? Where will you go? Believe it or not, while it's very sad that Nancy is not here, there is a goodness that comes out of her death. It's a reminder to us all that tomorrow is not promised to you. Death points out very clearly that you need to make the most of today and do all that God wants you to do with your life. If you need to change some things, now is the time to do that. We're going to open up the altar. If you want to give your heart to the Lord, feel free to come up and we'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. Would there be any? Boldness. You living for now or for eternity? Jesus came to pay the price for your sin. Alan, can you? Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this one who's recommitting herself to you. She understands what's going on. And Father, we know that there's others that are in this place. Give them the boldness that they need to come forward. And Father God, if not, let them reach out to any one of the staff today and talk to us. But most importantly, let them talk to you. Let them make this commitment. Father, we just lift this young woman up before you now. We cover her in the blood of Jesus Christ. We release the anointing. We release the anointing to break off every bondage, every hesitation, every demon of destruction that's been sent to destroy her. And Father God, we invite your Holy Spirit to go down on the deepest regions of her soul. Just quietly to yourself, confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. Tell him that you believe this in your heart and that you want to live for him forever. And as you do this, we pray, Father God, that the rivers of living water would go down on the inside of this young lady and would touch her. He's sending a bondage-breaking anointing for you now. While the Lord's ministering to her, we're going to finish out with our closing song. This is one of Reverend Nancy's favorite songs. She made a decision to ride.
As fire is and as sword in his hand, he's riding a white horse. Across this land, he has fire in his eyes, and his sword in his hand, riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me, you ride with me. Lord is fire in his eyes. Is his love or his pride? And he's longing that you be with him, right by his side. Yes, that fire is hot, burning inside. That is right with him, right by his side. Can you hear him calling out to us right now? Still we're with him.
Of the family, we thank you for coming. We thank you for loving Nancy the way that you did. Please keep the family lifted in prayer. If you've ever been through this, you know that this is a tough time and they have a rough year ahead of them. We know that Nancy's in a better place, but that doesn't take away what we feel right now. Thank you for the cards, flowers, and gifts and many acts of kindness that you're showing to them. The interment is going to be private, so there will not be a trip to the internment facility. At this time, you're dismissed. Feel free to mingle, talk to the family, take as long as you want. Just give them comfort. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for everything that you've done in our lives of our people. We cover this celebration of life in the blood of Jesus Christ. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.